Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, people. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Sports Scene Show. I'm your host, Ian Mackey. And as you can see, our van's asleep right now. We were supposed to do the show earlier. Time constraints, a newborn child, the busyness of my life. So we're doing it late night, but it's for Tuesday, so let's get it going, man. Hey, a lot of things went on this week. So we got to get it out. The topic of it is, hey, there's a door. So Hugh Jackson got fired yesterday. Was that today? Yesterday. Hugh Jackson got fired. And then also Tyronn Lue get fired over the past weekend. So, you know, a lot of coaches getting fired, a lot of stuff in Cleveland going bad. You lose LeBron James, the same team that went to the finals minus LeBron James, and they were 0-6. And you know what? I really want to get started with that because they knew what they were getting. Cleveland knew what they were getting themselves into when they kept Tyronn Lue, and they knew that they got to get started. Hold on, Vance is joining the show. Vance, welcome to the party. Are you still asleep? Or are you up with us?
I'm up.
Okay, all right. We started about Tyronn Lue, man. I was like, Cleveland knew what they got themselves into when they got Tyronn Lue, when they brought their team back, and then for them to get to that slow start. And then Kevin Love's out. It just didn't make no sense to get rid of Tyronn Lue and give him that extension. Like, you should have just timed his contract when LeBron was going to be a free agent and then he was going to be his last year of coaching. Then they both can leave and you don't have to pay the man $15 million over the next 3 years. That's all I'm saying. Tyronn Lue out, hanging out. I respect Tyronn Lue. Tyronn Lue's getting paid to do nothing. He got paid on his day off. $15 million over the next 3 years. So, man, how you feel about Tyronn Lue, man?
Man, I just think the owner, Dan Gilbert, just jumped the gun on it. I mean, I know that they started, they are 0-6, and I know, it's, you know, you have no identity since LeBron left. But I think you should at least gave him a chance. I think this whole season, they should have seen what they got in the coach, Tyronn Lue. I guess they felt like they really didn't know because of LeBron being there, and, you know, LeBron makes the team so much better. But, you know, Tyronn Lue, I mean, before he got there, they were winning, but they just survived their coach, and Tyronn Lue took them to a championship, and they won, even though LeBron was on the team. And some people may say LeBron was the team coach, but I think they should just gave him just this year, man, just a year out, just to see what they got in him. That's my take on it.
And then another thing is Cleveland didn't set it up right. I'm sorry, they just didn't set it up right. Like, he got George Hill, the bottom out of his contract. Let him go and give Colin Sexton the keys to the car. It's baptism by fire, man. And I truly believe that they just didn't set it up right for Tyronn Lue. They should have started a youth movement, traded all that cap if he could, get rid of George Parkson, and just get another young guy in there and let him run. And let Tyronn coach him and build a new culture about young guns. But they didn't set it up right. My thing is they didn't set it up right. Man, it's another thing we're about to discuss. Your boy, Hugh Jackson, getting let go, man. You know, he had what, 1-15 season? Then it went 0-16. And then, man, they had to let him go, man. He just wasn't doing a good job. Like, I'm all about, you know, giving coaches a fair chance, or especially back coaches because they don't get enough chances. And a little bit of mistake that they make, it's just blown out of proportion. So, you can't make – me and my dad always say you can't make too many mistakes as a black coach. You got to be on your P's and Q's at all times. You got to be 10 times as good of a coach as average. Just as a black quarterback or anybody else, because I promise you, the same mistake these other guys make, they're going to be second and third chances. You're only going to get this one. And Hugh Jackson did not do a good job of being that one. He's an offensive coordinator and an offense sucks. And I'm sorry, even if you bring in Ty Haley – to help you with your offense, and offense still sucks, it falls on you. You're the head coach. And he never took enough responsibility. And I'm very disappointed in Hugh Jackson and how he handled things just throughout the season, last season. And I know the owner liked him and didn't want to fire him. The general manager wanted to let him go. And I bet Ty Haley thought he was going to get that job once Hugh Jackson got fired. But they let both of them go. So that goes to show you, you don't think you're next in line, you're going to be in the unemployment line right along with it. Because I feel like Ty Haley was gunning for that fight, and he was it was some tomfoolery over there where he was saying other things outside of the coach, and I know this way, and we'll do it this way, undermining the coach. But I blame Hugh Jackson to a degree because you know as a black man, you don't get too many shots at these jobs. So you need to put the best foot forward and execute. And, yeah, it's the Browns, and they ain't not good. It don't matter. Barack Obama became president when we were in a depression. After George Bush, he got us out of it. People were still upset. I hate to put politics in the sports. We got out of it. People forget that we were in the depression. And they're like, Donald Trump, we got all this economy going great. How'd you get to the economy? How'd it get to this point? All I'm saying for you, Jack, and I don't care if it's Cleveland. It could have been the Bodak Bengals or whatever it could be. It could be the New Jersey Typhoon and then later expansion team. You black, you don't get too many chances of being head coaches. You got to do the job.
Well, I think he was fighting an uphill battle anyway, man. I mean, and then, you know, being Hugh Jackson, he came in. This is his second stint as being the coach because he was a coach with the Raiders. But I just think he had an uphill fight, man. I mean, he never had a stable quarterback. The defense wasn't good when he first got there. They got a good defense now, but the offense is not clicking. Like you said, him and Ty Haley into with each other, and Ty Haley probably going behind his back saying what he can do better. They traded away Josh Gordon. I thought that was a mistake. I mean, letting him go. It's just Cleveland never can get right, man. So I think they probably should just clean house and start all over. They got a new quarterback. They're going to settle in with Baker Mayfield. Let's just see what they can get. I mean, what he can do, let him play this rest of his year out, bring in a new coaching staff, man, and just let it go from there, man. Because it seemed like, Hugh Jackson was 3-36. Like you said, can't make no excuse for that. But he was an uphill battle. He never had a established quarterback. I mean, he just never had a established system at all to me. So it is what it is, man.
You always going to be fighting an uphill battle. Sorry, everybody, man, you're going to be fighting an uphill battle for the rest of your life. You already got two things going against you. You're a black man in America. So, you know, you're always going to be fighting that uphill battle. But I'm sorry, you got to produce. That's just my thing, man. He has to produce. Regardless, I don't care how big the hill is, Hugh Jackson, you know, regardless of Ty Haley's undermining you, you're the head coach. You could let him go at the beginning of the season or during training camp when he was trying to undermine you, when he was watching Hard Knocks. He was talking about staying tough enough, and Hugh Jackson like, this is my shit, this time we're running. Once you saw that happening, you should have cut him off at the knee. Look, nothing happened to us. That's fair.
Black coach or not.
Ain't nothing fair about this life.
Black coach or not,
but
man.
He got it.
I mean, he was uphill battle. Could have been anybody. I don't think anybody would have made it with the team they had. That's what I think about that.
We don't get too many shots of being head coach. We don't get too many shots being head coach. And I also want to talk about the famous James, man. So let's move from Hugh Jackson, from people getting the exit to people getting benched. Now, look, I like James Winston, and I thought he was good at Florida State. But James Winston got some stuff down there. He got O.J. Howard. He got Mike Evans. He got DeSean Jackson. He got Brett, the other tight end. He got Goodwin. He's got all these weapons. Man, he can't seem to throw it to the right team. Now, I know you're going to say Dirk Cutter did this, but Ryan Fitzpatrick getting the job done. Now, we know Ryan Fitzpatrick, the next game or two, is going to throw 5 picks, and they're going to be looking at James Winston. But either James Winston needs to get out of the state of Florida and go somewhere like the Giants, you know, and start over. Maybe a change of scenery. Just getting out of the state of Florida would help him a whole lot. Just a different coach, a different voice. Sometimes you need to smack in the face to wake you up. And I hope James Winston, Tampa Bay, trades him somewhere. They send him to the Giants, you know. I don't want him to go to Jacksonville. Just get him out of the state of Florida. It's a new environment, a new wake-up for him, a refreshing start. Because right now it's not working in Tampa. Tampa Bay got all these weapons, And either Tampa Bay is going to do something with all these weapons, or they're going to need to start it all over. How do you feel about Tampa Bay, Jameis Winston being benched?
Well, I think that was the right move, man. I mean, Jameis Winston, to me, like you said, he's been living off the Florida State. Yeah, he won the national championship at Florida State. And, you know, Jameis Winston, it seemed like when he first came in, this just this great quarterback, this motivation, he motivated all his teammates to do better. But his pro career hadn't been what it was in college. And I don't know about his trading him to the Giants or whatever, man. I don't know what he's going to do with Jameis Winston. I think Jameis Winston probably going to be out the door in the end. Because, like you said, he will have a couple of games that he played pretty good, but you know that 3 or 4 interception games coming. So, and with Fitzpatrick, same thing. Fitzpatrick probably come out playing good. They picked Carolina this weekend. He probably come out good playing this weekend. They might even win. But you know that game coming where he just going to blow it up. So, I think they need to just move on from really both of them. Or have Fitzpatrick there as a back in a backup role just in case. But they need to draft him a quarterback who's going to lead this team because they do have weapons. And to me, they're just wasting their talent. It's only a short wonder when your team's going to be good. And this team wonders closing fast.
Now, I'm not against Jameis Winston being a good quarterback. I think Jameis Winston is he's still young enough to be a really good quarterback. He just makes a lot of bad decisions. Now, you won't hear people or general managers say Jameis Winston is not intelligent. He doesn't have great football IQ. You hear them say he makes dumb decisions off the field and keeps doing wild things and disrespecting women in a way. But you never hear them talk about him having a bad IQ as a quarterback or as a black quarterback. The language that they use on quarterbacks, oh, he can't read coverages. His awareness, his IQ, NFL IQ as a quarterback is low. He all it does is scramble. You never hear those things about Jameis Winston. He can throw the ball. He can handle from the pocket. He's intelligent. But a lot of times during games, he just throws picks to the other team. And I don't know if he needs a new coach, a new scheme, or know when to check down. But sometimes I feel like he forces. He feel like he got to put the game on his back. This isn't college. This is the NFL. These are grown men, and they know what to do. And I don't think it's over for him. I feel like he has all these other quarterbacks get shot. If Derek Anderson can start in the NFL at his age, if Nathan Peterman can still play in his league, Jameis Winston can be a starting quarterback in his league. I'm sorry. I see a lot of horrible quarterbacks that continue to get jobs. Jameis Winston is not a horrible quarterback. He's still young enough so you can still teach him some things and do some things. Derek Carr ain't that much better than Jameis Winston. He's a
starting quarterback. Derek Carr. You're
and
right, Derek Carr.
I can name. Andrew Luck is not that much better than Jameis Winston. The margin of error between those quarterbacks are truly small. Now, I will tell you, one of the best quarterbacks in the league that people always disrespect when they lose games, and sometimes it's not his fault, or just period, they just don't give him enough love. And I want to shout him out tonight on the show, on the Sports Fiend show, because all you hear is Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and Pat Mahomes. But Cam Newton is balling.
I knew it. I knew it.
People hanging on his body. He's slaying that thing. He's running. Man, he's got a little bit more weapons now. And his boy Olsen back, his security blanket. Man, Cam Newton is balling. He's not getting enough respect around this league. And I'm telling you, man, he's doing his thing. Man, give me your thoughts about some of the NFL stuff, Jameis Winston, if you want to continue down the Jameis Winston road, or you want to shout out somebody that's really balling in the NFL right now, because Cam Newton is one of them guys that's not getting enough love.
I mean, I knew you were going to go to Cam Newton. And Cam Newton, yeah, he's playing pretty good, but Cam Newton got to show a little bit more in the playoffs. I think a regular season Cam Newton, he's been playing pretty good since he's been there. I think Cam Newton in the playoffs and the decision he makes in the playoffs, that's what's going to make or break Cam Newton. So right now, yeah, he's playing good, but I want to see him in the playoffs or even get to a Super Bowl and win one. Until then, he's just Cam Newton to me. I just want to see him do better than what he's doing. So I know you were like a big Cam Newton fan. Hey, I watched him in college in Auburn. He was pretty good then. But I just want to see him do more. So until then, I'm not really sorry about Cam Newton.
What else do you want
the
man to do? finish. What else do you want this man to do? I can name quarterbacks that they say is better than Cam Newton. Ain't made it to the AFC Championship, Andrew Luck. Ain't even made it to the Super Bowl, but they say he's better than Cam Newton. Like, bruh, it's all these guys that say they so much better than Cam Newton. You know, Drew Brees, yes, he's an all-time great quarterback. He's playing in a great system. He won a Super Bowl. That's the one thing he got on Cam. Matt Ryan, is he better than Cam Newton? No. But all these guys that kept saying is coming for Cam Newton. They're coming for his spot. Blah, blah, blah. They're not better than Cam Newton, man. And Cam Newton with the SEC, that's the only thing I got going against that man. But outside of that, this season, he has played really good football. And I just want to shout him out. Last season, he wasn't that great. But this year, he's playing really good, man. He's reading the field. He got more weapons. He's making the right decisions. He's playing really good football, man. I just wanted to shout him out. I don't think he gets enough love. But, man, let's talk about these trades, man. Let's start off with the Redskins trading for Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. The Washington team gave up. The Washington team gave up a 2019 fourth-round pick for Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. How do you feel about Washington getting Ha-Ha Clinton Dix?
Really and truly, I just want to know what Green Bay was thinking about. I mean, it's not like Clinton Dix hasn't been playing good for them. So I want to know who are they going to fill in his spot to play the position he's been playing and play as well as he's been playing. I think as far as Washington Redskins go, I think it's a great upgrade for them. Clinton Dix, like I said, he's been playing good since he's been in the league. He's been probably the star since he's been in the league. And for them to get him and Swag, the guy from the player from South Carolina, I forgot his name right now. His name escaped me, but there's gonna be two good faces back there. So I just don't understand why Green Bay traded him, but for Washington, it's a great pickup.
Oh yeah, DJ Swag or Swearinger, yeah, isn't his name?
Swearinger,
DJ Swearinger. Yeah. I mean, the Washington team is going to. I think they got a window to fix their defense. I think John Gruden, they're playing in a sorry NFC East right now. There ain't no team standing out that saying that they're elite. And I think the Eagles are still the best team in that conference. But right now, Washington's playing better, and they're doing things to win games. I just think when it comes down to it, when it gets to when it's nut cut time, as my friend Arvin Holmes will say, when it's nut cut time, I don't think the Washington team going to show up. Well, let's move to the next trade, Vance, which I feel like is going to be a big deal because I like this kid. He played for Jacksonville. The Rams trade for Dante Fowler, man. Now, they give up a 2019 third-round pick and 2020 fifth-round pick for Fowler. How do you feel about the Rams getting Fowler, adding to that front four?
On defense. Go ahead.
Uh-huh. They got Donald. They got Sue. Quinn. You know what I'm saying? They loaded up there. They loaded up in that front line.
Yeah, as far as on defensive line, what the Rams needed is a pass rusher. And Dante Fowler is a pass rusher. He's been a great pass rusher when he was in Florida. He's been a good pass rusher now. The problem with Dante Fowler is all the off-field issues that he has going on. I mean, then he was hurt his first year. So I think Jacksonville just wanted to get away from all the off-field issues that he has. But letting him go right now for a third-round pick that you don't know what it's going to be, I probably wouldn't have did that. But for the Rams, like I say, if it's winners and losers in every trade, I think the Rams wanted this because they got an automatic person you can plug in and you know he's going to be able to rush the pass.
Now, the next trade, Vance, the Ravens trade the Packers, tied my memory. Now, I saw this coming. I saw this coming yesterday. I saw this coming Sunday after the game, and I'm shocked he didn't get traded right after the game before a seven-round pick. How you feel about Ty Montgomery?
Well, Ty Montgomery kind of traded himself, going to the media talking about he don't know what role he plays for this team. And, the fumble didn't help him, but he's been going to the media complaining about his role with the team. So I think the team just got, just tied up. So they traded him away to Baltimore. Now, what's Baltimore going to do with him when you got Alex Collins back there who's been playing pretty good? So he's going to be in the same situation. He's going to have a definite role.
I'll give him the top Montgomery. I'll give him this. When the Green Bay ran out of running back, a wide receiver said, hey, I used to play running back in high school. He changed positions for the team. They kept him at running back because they couldn't draft a running back or get another running back. Now that they got one in there, they cut back because they had him on kickoff returns. Well, you've been having him playing running back. This guy has been everything, a utility player for a team. And now that you finally drafted a running back that's pretty good, now you want to cut bait. So I understand his frustration. I don't like how he went about it. But give that man some credit, man. He done. When that team said, hey, man, wide receiver, how many wide receivers you know that can play running back? There's very few.
Not many. But, yeah, that
very
was
few, cause that, why wide now. Receivers don't like getting hit?
True.
So, you know, but I wish them all the best. I hope it works out with them for the Ravens. Ravens still got a top-notch defense. They can do some. What I know about John Harbaugh is he likes special teams, and he going to find a way to get that man on the field. Because if he can play running back, play wide receiver, do special teams, the boy got talent. So, if anything, you know, they're gonna find a way. When you got talent like that, you can be a utility an army Swiss knife. What they call that? A Swiss army knife?
Swiss
army. They're going to find something for you. They're going to find some ways for you. Now, Vance, here come one of the most bigger trades, man. The Eagles traded for Golden Tate. The 30-year-old wide receiver has been traded for a third-round pick. How you feel about Golden Tate playing for the Eagles, man?
I don't really know how I feel about it. What I do know is Golden Tate is productive, and he gets yards after the catch. Golden Tate still, he averages over the last 3 years over 90 catches per season, but to me, Golden Tate still doesn't move the needle for me. I mean, he's a good receiver. He's going to score touchdowns, but is he that big play receiver that you looking for? I really don't know. As far as the Lions getting a third-round pick for Golden Tate, he's 30 years old, so I think that's just about justified. So I kind of lean toward the Lions on this. But one thing, though, you never know what the third-round pick going to turn into, like I said about the previous team.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Lions probably won this pick because the Golden Tate wasn't going to take them anywhere to me. So I think the Lions did good by cutting bait with them right now.
He's 30 years old, and I feel about 30-year-old wide receivers. You got to cut bait sooner or later. Once you hit 30 for me, and if you ain't no quarterback and you ain't no corner I can move to safety, I got to let you ride, man. I'm all about the youth and getting the younger players in, and you know, I'll keep a safety that's 32 or a little bit older, but it's hard to keep a 30-year-old wide receiver on the team. You ain't Jerry Rice, and it ain't that day no more. And a lot of wide receivers don't keep themselves in check, but let's move on to the next trade. Vance, Demaryius Thomas going to the Texans because Fool is out for the rest of the season. How you feel for a fourth-round pick and a seventh-round pick? How you feel about the 30-year-old Demaryius Thomas going to help the Texans try to make this playoff push?
Now, what I just said about Golden Tate, reverse that with Demaryius Thomas. I think Demaryius Thomas is a great pickup for them. I know Demaryius Thomas' numbers have been declining the last 3 years, but you got to look at the quarterback play at Denver hadn't been stable the last couple of years. So I think he's probably going to pick up his production, and he's going to be a real good pickup for the Texans. I think this gives them a quarterback, another option to throw it to on the other side of their main man. But I think, like I said, I think Demaryius Thomas is a great pickup for the Texans. I think he's going to do well with the team.
Oh, yeah. I really do feel that I like Demaryius Thomas. He just dropped too many balls, man. He just dropped too many balls. And the Texans moving up, they do a little bit more up-tempo game plan now. Because Deshaun Watson, I think he likes that. I think when he was at Clemson, he liked that up-tempo flow. But I really do feel that may help him out a lot. You know, whatever you got to do to help Deshaun Watson and his team make the playoffs, I mean, they're making a good push. I think the Texans got some things going on. Two dark horses that I feel like teams don't want to play some playoff time. You can mark this down or remember it or go back. It's the Texans and the Panthers. Two teams that defensively, they're gritty. Offensively, they're gritty. They got multiple running backs. Both teams got mobile quarterbacks and some wide receivers that can do some things. So watch out for those two teams. I still think the Rams and the Chiefs are the top of the conference. And you know what? I thought the Jacksonville would make a move for a quarterback. Teddy Bridgewater, somebody, Jacoby Brissett, that they would make a move for a quarterback to try to infuse that team to say, hey, guys, we're not going to let this defense go to waste. And what they did was they didn't do nothing. And I was disappointed in all of that.
Yeah, it is a disappointment that Jacksonville stayed pat. Well, they traded away one of their main pass rushers, but I thought they would try to get a quarterback. I don't know. Bridgewater probably was too. They probably tried to call for him, but he probably cost too much to them make the point. But like you said, you don't want your defense to go to waste because you never know who's going to come back the next year or the year after. But I guess they feel like, boy, this is the guy, they're going to stick with him. So, hey, we can't do him but sit here and watch. So we'll see how it goes from there. Another team that I thought would try to make a move would be the Giants, just to bring somebody in to see if they can fit a quarterback. But I guess the Giants just say, forget it, we just going to draft another quarterback next year. I guess they're going to be looking at the kid from Oregon. But the Giants definitely need to upgrade a quarterback.
Hey, Vince, I got a couple things I want to say about the NBA. I know we did the trade for football, but I want to tell you some records. And first thing that pops in your head, I want you to say, the Houston Rockets and the Phoenix Suns are both 1-5.
I mean, it's a surprise that Houston is 1-5. To me, it's not a surprise that Phoenix is 1-5. I know James Harden is out right now, and Carmelo, and I know you don't think Carmelo. You think what Carmelo's kind of washed up now. I still think he got a little gas in the tank. Chris Paul, Capella. I mean, I know they lost a good Trevor Ariza, but I still think Houston's not a 1-5 team. As far as Phoenix go, I mean, they just got AD in. They got new players around, and they got Trevor Ariza and they trade away a couple players. So I think it's they need time to gel. But I think they're going to be all right. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs or anything like that. I think in the future they're going to be all right team. But I'm just really surprised about Houston right now.
Carmelo Anthony ain't washed up. He in a dishwasher. Lala put him in a dishwasher. He ain't coming back out. You know how you leave stuff in the dishwasher, and when you move out the house, you forget it. You forgot you had that in the dishwasher. That's what we're going to leave Melo in that damn dishwasher. So, you know, hey, Lala, how you doing? Hope you listen to the show. But we're going to leave Melo in that damn dishwasher when we move out this house. And I don't know why Houston bought the house with that damn plate in it and put it in the shelf. Like, oh, we can use this plate. No, you throw that damn plate away. That plate don't look good. You don't know what the people did to that plate. They might have pissed in that plate. Nah, Melo gone, dog. So, but, oh, the next record, Vance, I want you to say something about. I want to end that Melo shit. You know what I'm saying? I know you like it, but the Sacramento Kings are 5-3. Give me your first thought about Sacramento being 5-3 right now.
Surprise that Sacramento Kings are 5-3 because who is their go-to player? I mean, you got a log jam at the power forward position that I feel like you need to trade some of these players away. You're not putting Melvin Bagley in the position where he can shine and show his true skills. De'Aaron Fox still jump shot broke, but he is playing pretty good right now. And with Willie Cauley Stein playing good right now. So I am surprised that, and then you got Harry Giles, who I don't know, is he going to be the Harry Giles he's projected to be, but right now they're 5-3. I know 5-3 is the beginning of the year, you know, 8 games in, but 5-3 right now is looking good on Sacramento Kings.
If someone had told me Sacramento was 5-3, the Lakers are 2-5, Thunder 2-5, I wouldn't believe you. But as Mr. Griffin would say, my old economics teacher back at Arlington High School, it shocked the shock out of me to know that they're 5-3. But they've been winning some games. They've been playing a lot of Eastern Conference teams, which I think the NBA does with a lot of bad teams at the beginning of the season that they play, let the bad teams play each other early on. Let them build some confidence in themselves. Hopefully that'll help you guys out and boost you up so you can be the shock of the NBA if you watch the last couple of years of the NBA, I'm gonna say the last decade because I've been paying attention to this. The bad teams the year before, they all play each other early on. So the sad East Coast teams versus the sad West Coast teams early on, and hopefully it gives them some confidence. And says, hey, we can play with these guys. We can win some games. Maybe it gives them confidence, and hopefully make the playoffs later on. But sooner or later, you got to start playing your conference games and playing Golden State and Denver and Portland and L.A. and Utah and Minnesota. But right now, the Sacramento Kings are in the eighth spot of the playoffs. Also, Van, Washington Wizards are 1-6. Could someone please fire Scott Brooks already? He's not that great of a coach. I promise you, he just had Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden, Serge Ibaka. He had all his talent. He's not that great of a coach. I wish someone would fire him already. I'm telling you, he's not that great. Vance, how you feel about that?
Yeah, I think it's about time for Scott Brooks to go. I think right now Washington has some good players on the team. You got John Wall, you got Bradley Beal. I know you don't think Otto Porter is that great, but, I mean, he can play defense. He does shoot the corner three. I mean, he's not an all-around player. I don't think he's worth the money they pay him, but he is a decent NBA player. I mean, you brought in Jeff Green. Dwight Howard is hurt. I mean, you got some nice little pieces. I'm not saying they like a championship team, but I think that they are way better than what they are now. But like you say, I think Scott Brooks, it's time for him to go. I don't think he has control of his team. I don't think the player listen to him. I mean, Kelly Oubre basically does what he wants to on the court. I mean, it's no structure with the team. So I think right now would be time. If anybody who got let go, it's time for Scott Brooks to go right now.
That's right. And on that note, man, it's the Sports Team Show. I'm your boy Ian Mackey, your boy R. Vance, you know what I'm saying? AO Mississippi, know that language. It's state all day. Vance, we ain't get to talk about state, but we're going to talk about state Thursday, man. We're going to talk about state Thursday. We're going to get state out there. So we appreciate y'all listening. Tell your friends about us, the Sports Team Show, Blog Talk Radio. Peace.